Yeah, right now I want to get to Luke Vargas. He is with the Talk Radio News Service. Apparently, a 10th state is around the corner to legalizing marriage between gay couples. Is that right, Luke?
It is right. And that state is Rhode Island, whose state senate voted just about an hour ago by a vote of 26-12 to send a bill to the House for pretty much a procedural vote next week. So you got D.C., 10 other states. And what's really impressive here, if there's a takeaway, is that progressives got this jammed through by primarying Democratic state senators who opposed marriage equality. They forced Democrats to get this onto the agenda for this year, and it worked out with tremendous results.
Now, Rhode Island is one of the most Democratic states in the United States. People think of Maryland or Hawaii or Vermont as Democratic. Rhode Island is probably more Democrat than Massachusetts, even, if that's possible. And the governor there, independent Lincoln Chafee, who actually used to be Republican, he was the only liberal Republican, he's always supported marriage equality. So what's interesting is that the progressives had to go after Democrats. You're absolutely right. So they knocked down the people who were standing in the way?
One person, and then I think the rest was just basically the pressure that caused. But they did get rid of someone last year in 2012 who opposed marriage equality by primarying from the left.
Now this, of course, is the state senate. Is there any possibility that the state assembly will stop this, or is our votes assured there?
No, the state senate, the state assembly voted in favor of this bill back in January. It was since modified. That's why we've had one more lap built into this. But they are going to approve it next week unless something crazy happens. And this, a move in the right direction for marriage equality advocates as countries around the world continue to legalize.
France yesterday. That's right. France is around the corner.
New Zealand the week before that, in Uruguay, a very Catholic South American country, way out in front on this one, legalizing it at the beginning of the month.
Now, of course, the United States, New York, and all states north and east of New York, all of New England now, with Rhode Island. Rhode Island is the last New England state to have marriage equality. New Jersey seems very close around the corner. They've got a very strong civil unions bill. I feel like it's working down from the northeast. Maryland's done it. Seems like Delaware and maybe even Pennsylvania might be next.
Right. It's a good time for people as we look at those Supreme Court cases as well. You had those 30 states consecutively that put this in their constitution, banning gay marriage. And then basically four states now in a row that are going the other way with it. Three on votes last November, and then this one via the legislature today. It looks like momentum gathering.
Thank you for your call, Luke. Never think that the United States Supreme Court doesn't look at the politics of a matter. As this happens state by state, that's exactly what happened when marriages between blacks and whites were banned. It started with the states and ended with the Supreme Court. More of the show right after this. Welcome back to the show. This is Mark Levine trying to figure out what made these two different, what made these two relatively ordinary American kids, particularly Jokhar Tsarnaev, the one that was captured, who went to prom and volunteered for best buddies, and by all accounts, the hardest, most horrible thing he ever did was smoke pot, which, if smoking marijuana led to terrorism, we'd have tens of millions of terrorists out there. What led them to be radicalized? We're still just learning that information, but I am curious about your theories at 888-653-7543. Let's go to Grace in Philadelphia. Grace, welcome to the show.
Hi, thank you. Thank you very much. You know, Obama is to be blamed for this because he didn't connect the dots. Two terrorist attacks on his watch in 4.5 years, Fort Hood, November 2009, and now this. He didn't connect the dots.
President Obama is to be blamed for this?
Oh, yes, it does. Of course it is. It's his FBI and his Homeland Security. And the two Boston terrorists were liberals. So now
we're liberals? Wait. What evidence do you have that they were liberals?
Like you blame Tea Party people.
Hold on. I just want a little evidence here. What evidence do you have that the two of them were, quote, liberals, unquote?
Go read. They were so happy Obama was reelected. It's their Twitter.
How do you know that?
Rush Limbaugh was reading their page. They were big liberals.
Rush Limbaugh was reading whose page?
Rush Limbaugh today on his radio show for 2 hours was reading their web page, their Twitter. Twitters.
Let me tell you something. I was one of the first reporters in America to actually find their YouTube page and their Twitter page.
Right.
And I posted it on my Twitter account at Mark Levine Talk. And I'll tell you what I found there. I found Jokar's webpage, which, by the way, is a Russian Facebook page. It only has a limited amount in English. And it said that his goals were career and money. I don't know if those are liberal goals or not. It did say he was Muslim. It did say.
But they were for Obama. They loved Obama.
There's no evidence of that that I know of.
Let
me ask you this. Do you think that if a
you want to blame the Tea Party people, then when this happened,
did you hear me blame anyone from the Tea Party?
No.
I mean, if you want, there are right-wing terrorists.
There
are right-wing terrorists out there. Timothy McVeigh and Eric Rudolph come to mind. There are right-wing terrorists out there. There are left-wing terrorists. The Weathermen come to mind, even though that was 50 years ago.
I'm just showing the hypocrisy of the extremist liberals, progressives, and Democrats. Obama's to blame for this. This is his.
Is George Bush to blame for September 11th?
Like Bush was to blame. I heard it for 7 years. This happened on his watch, 9/11.
Okay. Do you believe George Bush was to blame for September 11th?
I'm sorry?
Do you personally believe that President George W. Bush was to blame for the attack on September 11th that murdered 3,000 Americans?
It happened on his watch. He didn't connect the dots.
I just want to know if you're consistent. I don't know if you're consistent. So you do think George Bush was to blame for September 11th, and Obama's to blame for this one?
That's right.
All right. Well, then, if you compare it that way, the way I see it, if you compare it this way,
talk radio, not only Rush.
No. If you compare it that way,
because Obama had 4.5 years, 2 terrorist attacks.
You know what?
Where President Bush was in office.
I am glad. I am so glad. If you think that President Bush is at fault for September 11th and President Obama's at fault for these terrorist attacks, I'm so glad that President Obama's president, because less than 50 Americans died under terrorist attacks in his tenure, and George Bush had 3,000 Americans.
There shouldn't have been any. He had 4.5 years.
You don't seem that upset about what happened September 11th. I'll tell you something about September 11th. There were actually memos sent to Condoleezza Rice, the national security advisor, that said bin Laden turned to attack in the United States.
Right.
All we know from this so far is that the FBI was told by Russia to interview the older brother. They did. They couldn't find anything more.
Obama doesn't know what his own FBI does or Homeland Security. Give us a break.
Well, wait a minute. Do you see a difference?
The
FBI.
Knows.
Hang on there, Grace.
Everybody knows.
The FBI.
Obama's to blame.
Hang on, Grace. Hang on. We've heard you say that. Let's have a discussion, not just a monologue here. All right. Hold on, Grace. This is not a monologue. You can say Obama's to blame 12 times. That doesn't make it true. Hang on. Take a breath. Hello. Wow. You know, that's amazing to me. Let's have a dialogue here, Grace. I am very calm and happy to talk with you, but you can't even tell that no one's listening to you right now because we're not having a discussion.
Years.
All right, put her on mute.
I don't care.
All right, I hate to do that. I almost never mute a caller. But in this case, I was trying to have a dialogue with Grace. And Grace, if you're still listening, I am still willing to have a dialogue with you, have a discussion with you. But, you know, to repeat Obama's to blame 100 times doesn't make it the case. I'm asking you to draw connections. Now, here's what you said. What I said, which is the FBI did interview the older brother. That's true. But somehow you blame that on President Obama. And here's what I would say. The FBI interviews tens of thousands of people who pose potential threats. It may well be in the hundreds of thousands a year. And I don't expect the president to know every one of those hundreds of thousands. To me, when you have a major terrorist, a guy like Osama bin Laden, who had a long history of terrorism and was leading a terrorist organization, and it comes to the attention of the president's national security advisor, and the outgoing president says this is really important, that's something I think the president should consider. Whether or not President Obama should have personally reviewed 100,000 interviews that the FBI does, I think it's a tougher case to make. Now, Grace, if you want to have a discussion rather than a monologue, I want to hear from you. I hope you stay on the line and encourage others to call in as well at 888-653-7543. 888-653-7543. This is Mark Levine. We'll be right back right after this. Welcome back to the show. This is Mark Levine trying to figure out what lessons we can learn from the Boston Marathon massacre Who were these young terrorists? What caused them to be radicalized? What can we do to prevent these kinds of attacks in the future? Talking about the heroism of the law enforcement and really the people of Boston. You got to give credit to the people of Boston and Watertown and Cambridge, like the man that went, looked in his boat, found a body, I mean, and ran in to call 911. You know, congratulations on the police on their manhunt, but actually this citizen is the one who broke the story. Now, there's a lot of interesting questions about dual identity and immigration and what's going on in Chechnya and how people are radicalized and, you know, did the young men's religion play a role? Those are all interesting questions. I do have a caller on the line, though, Grace in Philadelphia, who seems to blame it all on Obama, which I think is a, well, let's just say a unique way of looking at it. Grace, do you think these other questions, such as the young boy's identity or who radicalized the older brother, do you think those are interesting questions as well?
Oh, sure.
Okay.
But Mark, thank you for listening to me. I really appreciate it. Of course they are.
Okay.
But remember, after 9/11/01, 7 years, all we heard was from the liberals, progressives, Democrats, was Bush is to blame. It happened on his watch. He didn't connect the dots. He should have known what his CIA and FBI was doing. So that's true, and Bush was in office 9 months, like I said. Now, I'm consistent. Obama should have known what, especially a terrorist, when Russia called us many times.
Okay, but no, called us many times. Let's get the facts right, Grace. Let's get the facts right. Russia called us. Well, hold on, Grace. Let me state the fact. If you disagree with it, then we'll have a dialogue, and you'll tell me why you disagree. As I understand it, and I am not party to these, you know, communiques back and forth between Russia and the United States. As I understand it, Russia did notify U.S. officials that they had concerns about this guy. The FBI interviewed him, could not find any evidence of those concerns, told Russia that they could not find the evidence of those concerns, asked Russia for more information, and Russia never followed up. Now, do you believe the facts as I've stated them are incorrect?
Possibly. You know how Obama is very pro-Muslim, so he possibly I'm reading this from Rush Limbaugh's thing.
Well, I'm getting this from the press.
And Homeland Security. This is Obama's thing.
You know, Rush Limbaugh gets facts wrong all the time.
My God, this guy was a terrorist. I don't care if he's 26 or 19. This is on
Of course they're terrorists.
Again. How could you...
Well, no, wait. Hold on. You're going all over the map. Wait, Grace.
This is his watch. He has no terrible fault.
The ghost of sanity is approaching you. Grace, you can't hear on her phone because she keeps talking. Oh, you're there. You stopped.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So Grace, I asked you a very specific question about facts that, again, this isn't coming from, the Center for American Progress. This is coming from the AP. It's coming from Fox News. It's coming from CBS, ABC, NBC. And they all say that this is what happened with the FBI and Russia. And I know you really, really, really want to blame Obama, but I got to tell you, Rush Limbaugh makes up stuff all the time.
Well, okay.
So unless he has some evidence behind what he says.
Sean Hannity. Yes, we heard it all for the last 3 days. Yes.
All I'm saying is I think there's some really interesting questions here about what radicalized these bombers. And, you know, I'm more than willing to concede it's a radicalized Islam.
Wasn't President Bush to blame for 9/11 on his watch?
It wasn't just that it happened on his watch. I agree that just something happening on a president's watch, I do not think is enough to blame them. The problem with 9/11, and of course now we're arguing something that's 10 years,
yeah,
more than 10 years
I'm
old.
I'm just showing you the hypocrisy.
Well, no. I'm going to tell you the difference. The difference was that the outgoing National Security Advisor under Bill Clinton specifically warned Condoleezza Rice to be worried about Osama bin Laden. She ignored it. You had people like Richard Clark begging the administration, the Bush administration, to take Osama bin Laden seriously. They did not. And like I said, they even sent a memo to Condoleezza Rice saying bin Laden determined to attack the United States. Bin Laden is not some 26-year-old immigrant American kid. He's more than just some kid who has an idea. We have lots of those, right? We have the people. Frankly, you know, I don't think Obama's to blame for the killer in Connecticut or the one in Arizona or the one in Colorado either. These are crazy people who have. But I do think that when you have a leader of a terrorist organization determined to attack the United States, that is something much more weighty than
one lone wolf
or his brother in the United States planning an attack.
You're trying to. You're
you don't see the distinction?
It's not different. He's had four.
It's not different?
Years. had two.
It's not different. You see no difference between Osama bin Laden and Jokhar Tsarnaev? Johar. It's like a joker. Wait, this is really interesting to me. You see no difference. Wait, you see no difference in power.
Grow up. You got it.
Wait, you see no difference in power. Al Qaeda is a worldwide terrorist organization supported by the Taliban in Afghanistan, and you seem to think that Osama bin Laden and this 19-year-old kid are just as dangerous. That's amazing to me, Grace. But one thing that's not surprising is that you won't listen to me or have a discussion because the fact that you keep talking shows that I guess that you know you're wrong. Because if you knew that you were willing to discuss what you wanted and have a discussion, you'd be willing to have a discussion. So, Grace, thank you for calling. And next time you call, if you're willing to have a discussion with me, I encourage you to do so. Thank you very much. Yeah, you know, that's I got to tell you something. When I talk to conservatives, and I have them on my show all the time, I'm always happy to have them come on the Inside Scoop. If you go to my website, marklevinetalk.com, you will see show after show after show. I break conservatives on. I give them a full chance to say what they want to say. I come back at them. We have a dialogue. We have discussion. And I think the real problem we have in America is that people are not having discussion. They're having monologues. They're like two skew lines. Sorry for the geometry. But people are going in completely different directions and never meeting here. So I have this discussion. We start to talk about Grace seems to believe that Osama bin Laden, that Jokhar Tsarnaev is just as dangerous as Osama bin Laden. I disagree. He's a bad guy. All right. I'm sure we're going to try him. I wouldn't be surprised if he gets the death penalty or at least life in prison. All right. This is a bad guy. But to compare what happened in Boston with what happened on September 11th, to pretend that a worldwide terrorist organization with factions in almost every country on earth, led by an evil mastermind, Osama bin Laden, who did murder 3,000 Americans, is just as dangerous as some guy and his brother who decide to put some bombs in a pressure cooker. I just don't think that they're the same level of danger. That doesn't mean that the Boston guys aren't dangerous. They are. I'm glad they're captured. I want to find out how to stop these lone wolves. But please, please, let's not compare what happened on September 11th. Let's not pretend that Jokhar Tsarnaev is as dangerous as Osama bin Laden. Frankly, he's not even as dangerous as the fertilizer plant that blew up in West Texas. And we're going to devote the entire last hour of the show to that fertilizer plant. So let me go now and play... just discuss a little bit more about these boys and what makes them different, because it's very important to figure out why they brought this attack in the first place. Welcome back to the show. This is Mark Levine talking about what caused these Boston bombers to be so radical. And then, as promised, in the next hour, we're going to move on and talk about Texas. Because the tragedy that happened there is larger than the one that happened in Boston, and frankly, more of a problem, I think, in America. But sticking to Boston for the moment here, Al from Buffalo has some theories as to what happened to these two young men. Al, welcome to the show.
Hey, what's up, Mark? You know, hey. I like when you fill in for Leslie. You seem to put a lot more careful thought into what you say.
Well, thank you. Appreciate that.
I would love it. I'd love it to be the Mark Levine Show at this time.
Well, I'll tell you what. Call your local radio station and ask me. You can have Leslie and Mark.
Well, I've asked many times to have it be the Mark Levine Show rather than the Leslie Marshall Show. I can't even pronounce her name. Leslie Marshall Show. She doesn't seem to have as much into it as much as you do.
Yeah, well, I'm not going to attack Leslie, but you can have both of us. And so if you call and ask them to carry me, maybe instead of... repeating Randy Rhoads or whatever, then I'd love that. But anyway, go ahead, make your point, please.
Well, the point is, the Republicans blew the banks and they put us in a two unfunded wars, and then you said, like you said, they failed to protect us from the worst attack on American soil. You know, I mean, how many Iraqis were killed? If you think about it, how many Iraqis were displaced in that region?
Yeah.
I don't know if that had anything to do with it.
Probably 100,000 Iraqis,
100,000 Iraqis,
and a millions displaced. And of course, we lost 4,000 American lives, and we had tens of thousands wounded, all for a war that I think was completely unnecessary. Whatever you think about the Afghani war, and that one I think we had to do something, but Iraq war was completely unnecessary, and it looks like the cost is going to be about $3 trillion when all the health care and it's taken care of. So maybe the Iraq war radicalize these two young boys. It's hard to know. I do know this, and it's very hard to know when you know, interview a terrorist after the attack. But apparently, in the limited interviews the FBI has done with Johar Tsarnaev from his hospital, but he can't talk, but apparently he can nod or write. He did say, in fact, it was Iraq and Afghanistan that caused him to do these bombings.
Right. Yeah, I think that had a lot to do with it. There was something else I was going to say, but I forgot what I was going to say. But Putin was not; they were not cooperating at all. I mean, didn't Putin gas the Chechens?
Absolutely. Russia was horrific with the Chechens. I mean, I'm not supporting terrorism on any scale, and certainly what the Chechen separatists did by killing hundreds in a Moscow school, I'm not going to defend that. But let me tell you something. Russia has been brutal to this mountain province, this fiercely independent mountain province that simply wants autonomy, wants to be its own country. I have a lot of sympathy, frankly, for the Chechen struggle, though, of course, we can never, ever support terrorism. Al, if you want to stay on and talk a little bit more about Boston, we can do that. Or not. Coming on the next hour, though, we're definitely going to move on and talk about what happened in that fertilizer plant in West Texas. If you want to call in, it's 888-653-7543. This is Mark Levine, right back after this. Okay, so let's go to Jilly in Florida. Hi, Jilly. How are you?
Mark, how are you? Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I just wanted to tell you that I really appreciate, I mean, I'm normally on the other side in advocacy, but I have so many friends out in Texas, and they, you know, they called, they were so ill when this happened, and there's really, I mean, there's a lot of outrage that there was no coverage. So
I share that outrage.
Really appreciate that.
It's not Boston or Texas. It can be Boston and Texas. They're both parts of our country. And in many ways, what happened in Texas is far more disturbing. In Boston, you have two losers, as their uncle called them, who did an awful thing. But in Texas, you have a systemic problem. You have a company making a profit and making dangerous things, and the state of Texas isn't regulating them. And this, frankly, is far more common, I think, than what happened in Boston, and far more dangerous.
Right. And the question we all had is, when I was growing up, and I'm probably a lot older than you, but we built our schools, you know, our hospitals around towns. We didn't build them around plants that can blow like this. And the questions they were asking, you touched zoning. Well, is there no zoning?
Yes.
And if there was any zoning at all, how was it allowed and who got bought off?
I'm happy to answer that question for you. There's very little zoning in Texas. Texas has far less zoning than almost any state in the United States. You may even know Houston is a town that prides itself on no zoning whatsoever.
Right.
That's Houston. But in this town of Texas, there was a provision that said the plant couldn't be within 3,000 feet of a school, which is about half a mile.
Lovely.
And interestingly, the plant blew up and destroyed things within about half a mile radius, including a school. So if you look at a map, you see it's actually just a couple blocks from the school. And the answer is, and I did look this up, they got a waiver from their local Texas politicians, and I don't know whether, I think it was the state government, but I'm not quite sure. It could have been local government. But they got a waiver from their local government that said it's okay for us to make this ammonium nitrate right next to the school. And a nursing home, too, by the way. By the way, kids at least can run. It's very hard for people in a nursing home to run fast away from an explosion. Look, why can't we, you know, if you look at a map of this place, you'll see it's on the edge of town. All it has to do is be a mile further from the town. There's nothing in there's farmland. All right? Surrounded by farmland. It might, you know, destroy a few cattle. Why does it have to be on the edge of a town? What was Texas thinking? And the only thing I can think they were thinking is that needless regulation is bad for business. You know what? There's good regulation and bad regulation, but some necessary regulation would have prevented a much greater loss of life.
Right, and plus the fact they said the reason that they erected the school there and everything else this is what I was told, is because the land was less expensive closer to the plant. Nice, huh?
Oh, my God. My head hurts. Wow. Yeah. My head hurts.
I mean,
we could put children, we want to build schools cheaply, and it's really cheap to put schools next to a bomb-making factory.
Correct. Right?
I know it's fertilizer, but the stuff explodes. So, you know what? I bet if you put kids in the local jail, that'd be an even cheaper place to put your school. Just put them in the same cells with the convicts. I'm sure nothing bad will happen to them. It's astounding. I hadn't heard that, Jilly, but I got to say, it doesn't surprise me. And it just adds to my anger. And I got to say this, it's interesting, and I don't mean to pick on you at all, but you say that you normally would come to this from the other side. I would ask you, based on what happened in Texas.
Oh, no, not the other side, on the other side of the bridge. Normally, I'm an advocacy, child advocacy.
Oh, okay.
You know, when I say the other side, I always catch you on the other side.
Oh, you mean conservative? You mean you're a liberal that usually talks to conservatives on the radio?
No, I'm saying that I usually catch you on the advocacy side. Like, you've helped us in child advocacy.
So oh, I have. I That's true. Yes.
Yes. Okay. So when I say the other side, no, not liberal versus, no. I don't understand. I'm just telling you, if this would never happen in Scarsdale, New York.
It would never happen in Scarsdale, New York. It never would. And it wouldn't happen in Boston either. And I got to say, what is it about Texas? And I have to think that they just consider their poor people expendable. They're just expendable. Maybe because they're Latino. Maybe they're poor whites. Whatever it is. Texas just doesn't give a damn about its poor people in a way that, let's face it, more liberal areas do. And that's why these people are expendable. And it's disgusting, and they need to regulate these places. If you're going to make ammonium nitrate for fertilizer, okay, that's fine. We use it in fertilizer. Put the plant out a couple miles from town. Have a safety way to get out of it. I mean, the scary thing is there was a fire, and the first responders ran toward that fire, and then there was another fireball that apparently killed a half dozen of them. Why didn't the first responders know about the potential for explosives in this plant? Again, it's all speaks to me to a really lousy local government, and the fact that more than a dozen people are dead. It's astounding, and I would like the media to cover it a lot more.
Well, hopefully with your help, they will. It's just somebody has to answer. I mean, if the feds did go in there was no sprinklers.
No sprinklers.
There were no fire doors. I mean, hello.
I know.
When they catch away.
That's what happens when there's insufficient regulation. That's exactly what happens when there's insufficient regulation. Thank you for your call, Jilly.
Okay, thank you. Take care,
I really appreciate it. Are we going to get to Daily Dave if he's still on the line when we come back? 888-653-7543. You can join in too. Let's talk about Texas. Be right back after this. Welcome back to the show. This is Mark Levine. I've been writing on Twitter why no one's talking about Texas. Everyone's talking about Boston, and it's interesting. Liberals are saying, hey, well, MSNBC did have focus on it, and even a few conservatives are saying, well, Fox did talk about it. You know what? I've watched them all. None of them focused on it one-tenth as much as Boston. Daily Dave's been hanging on a very long time, which I appreciate. Daily Dave, you got the floor.
Hey, Mark.
Hey there.
When Buffalo went to play Boston, I think the day after the bombing, I made the same point that you're making. This is before the explosion in Texas.
Hmm.
And I said, for 24/7, for the last 5 days, you know, we've been talking about three people passed away and 152 injured. And as horrible and as terrible as that is, that on average, six or seven people die every day on the job. And my friend's point was, that's because someone made a mistake. They stepped into a manhole cover, or they stuck their hand into a baling machine, or they weren't paying attention, or they fell asleep on the, behind the wheel of a truck, or something like that. And then this Texas plant blew up, and suddenly we realized that it was because of not a lack of regulation, but because of how big business skirts the law and actually kills workers on the job.
Well,
and
I
that's
think
why
it's both. But just to be clear, I think that big business definitely skirts the law and kills workers on the job. But I also think there's a lack of regulation at the state and local level in Texas. So it's a combination of the Texas cops helping this bad factory do it. So I'm not at all letting the company off the hook, trust me. But at the same time, I'm not letting the Texas government off the hook either. So I just want to be clear about that.
Right. I understand what you're saying, that there's not just lax regulation, but there's there's self-regulation.
That's true.
That these companies are supposed to fill out forms and occasionally report and have weekly safety meetings and so forth. And people, you know, unfortunately, the people working at that job site did have a responsibility. If they knew that the regulations were being broken, they had a responsibility to step up and protect their brothers and sisters on the job site. And union protection would have helped with a situation like that.
Thank you for your call, Dave. Let's take the last call, Judy from Nebraska. Hey, Judy, how are you?
I'm fine, thank you. First of all, I don't know why we should be surprised. Money has bought things in Texas for a lot of years. Big money has bought a lot of things in Texas. And I think everyone in the United States probably is aware of that. The thing that I would like to know is the company that owns the ground that factory is on, did they also own the ground around it and then sell it for the purpose of school and nursing home and housing development?
That's a good question. I don't know the answer to that, but I'll find out. I'm going to be on the show tomorrow, and I'll report back to you. How about that? I'll look it up, and I'll find out the answer for you.
That sounds great.
I'll do that, because that's an important question. The question that Judy's asking, obviously, is why is it that the school and the nursing home were so close? And I'd be curious to know, and she's curious to know, whether the company owned the land that it sold so close to it. I don't know the answer to that, but I'll find out. I'll be right here next. I'll be here tomorrow. Anything else, Judy?
Nope, that's it. Well, thank you.
Thank you for your call. Well, I'm going to answer that question tomorrow. I will be here again from 7 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time on most of your stations. Or whenever you hear Leslie Marshall Show, you're going to hear me tomorrow. We're going to explore more about what happened in Texas and also more about the background checks for guns, because I do care about what happened in Boston. We may talk about that some more, too, but it wasn't the only story. America had a really hard week, and one thing, though, to me, it wasn't just about the pain that was clearly there, but the stories of heroism really touched my heart. And that's true of the responders that ran into the fireball in Texas, just as it's true of the people who picked up wounded bodies in Boston, or the man who looked in a boat and found a terrorist. This is Mark Levine. If you want to follow me, just go to marklevinetalk.com. That's my website. You can follow me on Twitter at marklevinetalk. And tune in tomorrow when we explore this and other questions just like it.